Tired of mommy bloggers telling you Lent is about simplifying your life? Totally over the History Channel speculating on whether or not Jesus' skin was olive or white? Check out the April the Lutheran Witness. We're talking Lent, Easter, and Jesus, who hangs on a cross for you, lies in a tomb for you, and is risen and returning all for you. Visit cph.org/try-Lutheran-Witness for a special offer of 6 issues for $6.99. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
We don't treat religion like a subject that we think influences the news and what influences what happens in the world.
The God of Islam wants us to die for him. Jesus died for us.
A conscience that's bound to anything other than God's word is enslaved to idolatry.
When we do our own thing as a congregation, ignoring history, ignoring the divine liturgy's history and so forth, we have, in a sense, become an island unto itself.
Topics you can really sink your teeth into. That's why Iowa dentists love Issues Etc.
There are a few things that will, today, get you an angry look, evil eye, maybe even, if you're on social media, will get nasty comments. And they're oddly the kind of things that used to be common sense, that used to be just taken for granted, that used to be accepted as self-evident. Things like, well, children are best off with both a mother and a father. You say that nowadays, and you will probably be labeled misogynist and backward and whatever else, who knows, probably sexist in some sense. Why? What has society taught us about motherhood and fatherhood where we suddenly cannot say that a father is a good thing, maybe even father and mother are better than just mother? We're going to talk about society and single motherhood. Rebecca Curtis will be our guest. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, April the 7th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Rebecca, Pastor Chris Rosebro joins us for This Week in Pop American Christianity. He's brought along some examples of twisting the passion narratives of Christ. I think we've learned one thing in our series with Chris. Scripture is indiscriminately twisted. There's no section of Scripture that won't get twisted in pop American Christianity, up to and including the very accounts of Jesus' suffering. Pastor Mark Serberg will be our guest after that to talk about Palm Sunday and Confirmation, answering the question, why do Lutherans and have Lutherans had Confirmation on Palm Sundays? Is there a reason for it? Is there a Lutheran reason for it? Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will round off today's program. We're going to talk about the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of the Christian. Feel free to join us with your questions or comments or call in number 1-877-623-MY-IE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about society and single motherhood, Rebecca Curtis, a pastor's wife and mother of 7 children. She has a master's degree from Concordia Seminary, co-author of the book Ladylike, Living Biblically, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Society Can Never Make Up for the Husband Single Moms Don't Have. Rebecca, welcome back.
Hello, thank you.
You say that we're really jerks for not telling the truth to single mothers, the simple truth that single moms are single. What do you mean by that?
What I mean is that when we think about this, we want to not put a woman who's already in a very hard situation in a harder situation in that immediate moment by saying anything that can come off as being discouraging or depressing. When a woman is facing a decision about what to do with the fact that she's pregnant and she's alone in her pregnancy, that we just want to make her feel better. And the easiest way to do that is to tell her, you've got this. You can do this. You're smart. You're strong. You're going to make it. You are exactly what your baby needs. And all of those things may be absolutely true, except for the last one, because every human being on this earth needs a mother and a father. And if we can't be honest about that, then we're not doing anyone any kind of service.
One of the topics because it's just an ill-defined term that we throw about, society. We talk about society lending a hand to single mothers or society helping out. What does that all sound like to you?
When we look at how things work in our contemporary life, we see that it has become typical for a mother who isn't married, who has never been married, to be expected to either, well, this all began with an article that David Frum had in The Atlantic a number of years ago where he said there are four options in this situation. You can have what's known as a shotgun wedding, where the actual mother and father marry each other. You can do an adoption, where another married couple adopts the baby. You can have an abortion, or the mother can raise the baby on her own. And he says that until about the 70s, the order of those things, the order of preference was a shotgun wedding was the best option. That way, mom, dad, and baby are all together. The next best option was an adoption. The third option that people kind of approved of was actually an abortion. Even though it was illegal, it put this whole mess behind everybody. It was the easy way out if you couldn't get dad to cooperate. Or the last thing that you wanted was for mom to raise the baby by herself. And the truth is, when a woman is not married and has a baby, she really can't raise it by herself. Somebody does end up helping her. Usually that ends up being extended family or grandparents, assuming that she has those people in her life. But that was seen by everyone as being the option that served everyone least. Whereas after the 1970s and abortion became legal and marriage really counted for virtually nothing. You can get out of it for any reason at any time. Either of the parties can terminate a marriage. Well, why would you rely on that? That's not a safe place for a child to grow up in an environment that could cease to exist at any moment. And that's why single motherhood came to be the preferred option. The truth is that most people don't support abortion. And so if that's off the table for you, you can't get dad to cooperate in terms of marriage. Even if he did, you couldn't count on him to stay. This is where we end up. I think the real loss here has been in adoption. Although we still speak highly of it, kind of in abstract terms, we don't really encourage women toward it. This happens even in crisis pregnancy centers. Rosaria Champagne Butterfield talks about the adoption of her children in her book, Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert. And she talks about how very difficult it was for them to deal with crisis pregnancy centers that were encouraging women toward single motherhood over adoption. She says, why would Christians be doing this? And this is not an easy thing to talk about, but it is something where the church has gone along with all of those things that happened in our laws and among people who were kind of morally adrift because they had become separated from the church. Because all these things had become accepted, that we have been uncritical in accepting that change, that we're also encouraging single motherhood over against adoption in a way that has never been done in Christian society or really in human history.
And you're saying the problem there is not that single motherhood is a bad thing necessarily, but that adoption does afford this child, and I want to talk about this for some time, a legitimate connection to both father and a mother.
Exactly. That is the protection that's in place for either a marriage or for adoption. There is a willing, formal, legal, documented agreement between two people that they both are bound to this child and to provide for the child's needs. You don't have that. This is what the article is really about. You don't have that in single motherhood. There is no one else who has willingly agreed to be on her team. Now, we've tried to make up for that in a backwards way by saying, well, we all know that dad does need to make some provision here. Even if he's not they're not going to get married. He still needs to at least, you know, throw some money at this situation. But this is, first of all, that's not a willing contract, unlike a marriage or an adoption. And second, it doesn't work. One of the studies that I linked to in this article talks about how child support is rarely paid. When it is paid, it's often paid through withholding of wages through the father's employer. And in order to even get that done, the mother is going to have to hire a lawyer and pay legal fees to get that done. And if the father is not employed, you don't even have the option of withholding his wages by legal means. And so the mom and the child are left without any help. Child support laws help only a small proportion of women who have a child and have never been married.
Well, and even if the father is, you know, a bank president, money doesn't substitute for a dad, does it?
Absolutely. Money is the least of the problems that are in this situation. I mean, certainly you have to have it to live, but every one of us needs so much more than that. And we can really be honest about this when a parent dies. When a child loses a mom or a dad, we are allowed to explore every corner of our grief there and be totally upfront with what a terrible situation that is, that this child is now growing up without a mother or without a father. But when adults have made a decision that this child is not going to have a mother or is not going to have a father, well, you know, hard things happen to all of us, and they'll get through it, and it'll be okay, and we lose all that honesty about what a terrible thing it is to be deprived of a mom or a dad.
You talk about those twin terms, illegitimate and legitimate, not as stigma on the child, but rather, in a way, stigma on parents unwilling to make that commitment. Talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. It's legitimacy simply refers to the legal status of the child. And again, that's what a marriage license is for. That's what adoption paperwork is for. All of those things give the child a formal protection of two people who are committed to his care. It's not saying that, it's certainly not a commentary upon the character of the child or not something that you just say to be mean. We have other words for that, too. But legitimacy is a technical term. It refers to where the child stands in relation to the people who are responsible for his care.
Rebecca Curtis is our guest. We're talking about society and single motherhood. When we come back, society. She says it's just another word for nobody. We'll find out what she means after this.
For 28 years, I had the privilege of serving as a chaplain in the United States Navy.
Dr. Dan Gard, retired Rear Admiral and President of Concordia University Chicago, on the need for military chaplains.
During that time, I was able to bring word and sacrament to so many young people and their families, our sons and daughters spread throughout the world. Truly a privilege and an honor, and today, there are other chaplains that must follow. We need more LCMS chaplains in all branches of the military. It's an incredible, amazing mission opportunities to go to places no other pastor can go, but to go with the same tools that any other pastor brings wherever he goes, word and sacrament.
You can find out more about the vocation of military chaplain at lcms.org/armedforces, the LCMS ministry to the armed forces, lcms.org/armedforces.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
How do we find real masculinity with Jesus hanging on a cross? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is titled Man Up, The Quest for Masculinity. It's written by regular guest Pastor Jeff Hemmer. You can find out more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Men in all stages of life will appreciate Man Up. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Man Up, 1-800-325-3040. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about society and single motherhood with Rebecca Curtis, a pastor's wife and mother of seven children. She has a master's degree from Concordia Seminary and co-author of the book Ladylike, Living Biblically, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Society Can Never Make Up for the Husband Single Moms Don't Have. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is on the subject of that husband, that man, in many ways. The book is called Man Up, The Quest for Masculinity. This is what Pastor David Peterson, a regular guest here on the program, has to say about the book. He says it is quite possible that you are holding the very best book to ever be written on masculinity. You might find after you've read the book that it's not so much about men in general, but it's about the man, as the author says, up on the cross, Jesus Christ and our Savior. The book is called Man Up. You can order it from Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, The Issues Etc., Book of the Month for April. Rebecca, you say that society, that general term, is just another word for nobody. What's your point?
When we think about this, and obviously we all know people in this situation, know them pretty well, at the same time, it is hard to know how you can help when you're looking at children in your life who don't have a dad or who don't have a mom, and to do that in a way that is really useful, that is not judgmental, that is not invasive or threatening. And it's just really hard for everybody to know how they fit into that picture. And I think a lot of people do end up just being scared off from it. They say, I want to do something for these people, but I don't know how in a way that isn't going to make mom feel inadequate or bad. It's hard to get to know the people in that situation sometimes, or sometimes you know them so well that your help in some ways is not welcome, or you don't know the best way to go about it. And so a lot of people are scared off from wanting to offer the kind of help they know is needed, but just getting it done gets so complicated and difficult. I think another really sad thing here is that people outside the church look at this situation very differently than we do in the church. And by the church, I mean people who are pro-life and want to save babies' lives and help women who are in difficult situations and really, really care about this. We put so much into that at the church. You know, I think you can walk into most churches I've ever walked into in my life. You know, they're running a baby shower for a crisis pregnancy center. They've got the baby bottles out with change in them, or they're having a diaper drive. There are constant things going on to support women who are dealing with a pregnancy that wasn't what anyone had in mind. But when you listen to people outside the church talk about this, they're saying things like, well, if you don't want women to get abortion, then you need to be willing to help them. No one is there for them. And I think, you know, we hear that in the church and think, well, yes, we are. It's like taken over. You know, in some ways, I think the fight against abortion is just so constant, and we're so concerned about it for every good reason in the world that it is confusing to us when we hear people outside the church say, well, you don't even care about women. We care so much. We put so much of our energy in terms of our living out our Christian faith and charity and caring for our neighbors into this very situation that I think we need to really think about that hard and ask, what are they referring to? Because our work in this area of difficulty in human life is very much baby-oriented. And I think what people outside the church are looking at is what happens when that baby isn't a baby anymore, when diaper drives aren't what he needs, when he has outgrown that sleeper that you donated, what happens to those kids when they're 5 years old and when they're 8 years old? What happens to the little girl who really needs a dad to tell her that she's beautiful? What happens to a boy who needs somebody to teach him to throw a spiral? That's why better child support laws or a better means of enforcing them are not going to solve this problem. And that is something that I think the church needs to keep thinking about, keep working on, and try to close that gap between our very strong pro-life position and the moms and the kids who are still getting lost in life and even in our churches, because being outside of that typical family model really can, in some cases, drive them away.
You say this, and I'd like you to explain it, because it does need careful explanation. You say no-fault divorce and the general loss of respect for marriage have left the shotgun wedding, as you call it, so insecure as to be nearly useless. Although you note, even a broken marriage leaves more reliable provisions for children in its legal wake than no marriage at all. Some might be shocked to hear you say that. What do you mean?
When people are going through a divorce and they have children together, that's just part of the deal. They've got to figure that out. Custody rights and payments and time and money, and also in those situations, both parents have already spent at least some amount of the child's life with the child. They have a relationship. So both of those factors leave children of divorce still in a little less bad situation than a child whose parents have never been married, simply because there are logistics that have to be dealt with legally. Those people already have a legal connection to each other. They just have to renegotiate it. For the child of parents who have never been married, there is no legal framework in place for them. So this is back to the matter of legitimacy. That child has no legal connection, usually, to his dad. I mean, mom is pregnant. that child and that mom are connected. But dad is just kind of drifting. And that's why it is a different situation to look at children who are growing up after a divorce or children who are growing up with parents who were never married.
Finally, if you would, talk about how it is that none of these things, and we're talking here about second bests, if not third and fourth bests, and in the case of abortion, a positive evil.
Right.
None of these things substitute for two parents, a mom and a dad, with their children.
Right. You know, in this situation, it doesn't do any good to say, well, you know, this shouldn't happen. This shouldn't be how it is. It is how it is. It happens. It's been happening from the beginning of time. But I think, like where we began, we don't want to be nice rather than kind. And it is no kindness not to be honest about what is best for the child, what is best for the mom, and what is best in every family is mom, dad, and kids together. Whatever we can do to encourage that is the best option. I do think that some of the changes have been kind of good. I think that there, you know, every situation is different, and I think a rigid application of adoption as the solution to every situation where this happens is not necessarily the best. And there are cases where, you know, if there's a strong extended family, if grandma and grandpa are absolutely there, and it's not going to be mom and baby just adrift in the world, there can be situations where all those people can stay together, and that's the second best. And so I don't want to, you know, talk to anybody who has experience with adoption, and they will tell you adoption's got a lot of problems built into it. It's also a second best solution. So I think we can take, we can look for what is good in the changes that we've seen in the last, 30, 40 years and say, well, in some ways, in some cases, this could work out better. I don't think that we ever want to denigrate adoption because that's what we see in Scripture. We're all adopted into God's family. It is a biblical family setup. It's what our Lord does for us. At the same time, I don't think that we want to, be so rigid in saying that, life is complicated, weird stuff happens, and this is when we need to work together to figure out what we can do to make the best of this situation.
Rebecca Curtis is a pastor's wife and mother of seven children. She has a master's degree from Concordia Seminary, co-author of the book Ladylike Living Biblically. A recent column also for The Federalist is titled Society Can Never Make Up for the Husband Single Moms Don't Have. You can read it and purchase Ladylike under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Rebecca, thank you.
Thank you.
Chris Rosebro joins us on the other side of the break. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. He has brought some examples of twisting the passion narratives of Christ. Yes, that's even happening this time of the year. We'll hear them and see what he thinks right after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. And St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
St. Jacobi Lutheran Church in Shawnee, Wisconsin has a special guest each and every week. It isn't you, but it is Jesus Christ. He is a guest, and he is also the one who comes to serve you with his preached word and his broken body and shed blood. You are invited to be served by Jesus on Saturday evening at 6:30 and Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Visit www.stjakobi.org for more information.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. Anthony Eslin will be speaking on the topic of imagination and education at the second annual Wittenberg Academy Family Retreat, which will be held at Camp Okoboji in Milford, Iowa on April 27th through the 29th, 2017. Join us and be immersed in God's Word, thoughtful discussions, and family fun. For more information or to register, visit www.wittenbergacademy.org and click on the registration tab.
The world may tell us that Easter is about eggs and chocolate bunnies, but we Christians know that there would be no Easter without Jesus' death and resurrection. Emmanuel Press has just released an Easter card with beautiful artwork that confesses Christ's victory over death and his redemption of mankind. You can find this card and others at emmanuelpress.us, EmmanuelPress.us.